Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening. It's 6 p.m. and this is Here Be Monsters Radio with the Sunday Show, a roundtable of progressive or, you know, forward thinking. Maybe it's been so long, guys.
Anti-insanity.
I got the line, huh?
I personally, you know, I've taken a vow of don't watch the news. But here's the thing. This is our progressive weekly roundtable with Professor Ronald Feynman and Wayne Johnson. I'm your producer, Gwendolyn Berry, and go for it.
Well, we can start a lot of places. I'm going to start with Newt Gingrich, the former speaker I saw today on the news. I haven't had a chance to write about it yet, saying that if the Republicans win the House of Representatives in 2022, that all the members of the January 6th House Committee, including the two Republicans and all the Democrats, should face prison time. Can you imagine that? That could never happen. If anything, all the people who were involved in the insurrection should go to prison, all 139 House and 8 Senators.
How can you not imagine that? How can you not imagine that? This is just
a
country.
Well, you can talk about it, but they can't do it.
This is a country that's become split between those who have some care for community and have some sanity left, and the rest are a bunch of power-hungry Nazis.
Oh, gosh, yes.
They are. They're
better
than Nazis.
Right, exactly. Look,
very scary, though.
I'm going to paraphrase from Barry Goldwater.
I'm all for what Mummy says. Get the friggin' guillotine back out. I've got a pair of knitting needles. I'd look
for Yeah, well. I want to give you a quote from Barry Goldwater from back in 1963 when he was running for president.
The 64, yeah.
Yeah, the 64, but his campaign was in the 63 kind of a thing. He said, warned the GOP to stay away from the religious fanatics. He says they don't compromise. They are so fanatically indoctrinated that they are going to destroy the Republican Party. Well, now we have the Tea Party. We had the Moral Majority with Reagan out of that Jerry Falwell, which is the most idiotic extreme Baptist there in Lynchburg,
yes.
Virginia, right? And the thing is now it's permeated all throughout. We have throughout the whole Republican Party. We have, and this is in my blog, The Minds and Times of F. Lane Johnson, where I talk about the Full Quiver Project. And the seminary there in Illinois blatantly propagates and teaches their new ministers coming out that there is going to be a race war. We need women cannot deny her husband sex. God will decide whether or not to open or close the womb, and we need to bring more white people for the upcoming battle. This is your full quiver.
Do you think that any of this garbage is really going to get put on the table? These guys just get themselves into office, and then what they do is they power broker whatever they want to go through for the purpose of whatever profit in their own pocket. That's it, basically. Look at Mitch McConnell.
Well, I know.
His big fucking deal that's not a mantra. They all know better than that. That's like those K Street bastards. You know, I mean, catch up with your Rachel Maddow 4 years or 5 years back. These kids they send out as missionaries into different what they still call third world countries to basically just hard press misogyny into small governments and villages, centers and such. And by the way, put my kind to the flame, or stone them, or whatever. I mean, you know that there's actually people being persecuted in these countries because of these K Street crappers for witchcraft. I mean, it's all coming to a boil, and something's got to blow, whether it's going – I don't really think seriously it's going to be civil war. I think there's something else going on that everybody keeps walking on by and not thinking too much about it. But, you know, every time a new aeon or age comes into play and anchors itself into our historical timeline, there's always a decrease of population. What a plague don't you get? You think COVID's done?
No, COVID's not done. No.
No.
No, it's going to be propagated more and more for the next few years.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Ron, you and I can think about this, and I guess you can too, Wayne. Basically, we're all going to get some form of it because it's that far gone. And you can blame the anti-vaxxers for it if you wish, but basically what we're looking at is Mother Nature taking a course, a cycle, to usher in another cycle. But you guys think more clearly, you guys think in terms of the here and now and the politics on the table. And basically, from my perspective, I mean, Ron knows his stuff. But Ron, I don't think that politics is any kind of an answer to what's coming up. I really don't, because look how, it's not just America, you know that, right?
Yes, yeah. Well, the world's a mess. We're going to probably have maybe three wars this year. The question is what our involvement is, the Russia-Ukraine situation, the China-Taiwan, and Iran-Israel, and maybe even North Korea. Oh, my God. I tell you, this year, they've started off always saying the year could be better. I don't think it's already better to start off with, and I'm scared what's going to happen.
Well, you know, we could all take a breath and sit back and think about what you can do for your own community. Ron, you're a teacher. You know, you make a difference in the classroom. You influence young minds. That's a great.
Yes, but you know what's interesting? Not so much at the college level, but now our glorious, being sarcastic, Governor DeSantis wants to have it that kids cannot be taught to feel, quote, guilty, what as he calls it, or feel bad about the racial issues of the United States history. Can you believe this? And also that anybody who's gay or lesbian, you know, that they have to be revealed, and the students will lose their ability to keep it, you know, to keep it private. It'll be exposed, and their parents will be told if it's clear. I mean, this is insanity.
Well, it's the repeat of Kristallnacht, where they did massive book burnings.
It's just building the fire even brighter. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a combustible.
Right.
These are combustible moments. We do have a caller. Hey, we got it. Oh, I know who this is.
I'm just listening. I tried to tune in on Blog Talk, and I couldn't get in. So I decided to call in and listen. So I'm just a listener. So keep going. No, please.
Yeah, can I just intervene to say to the guest, I forgot your name, please do not dominate as you've sometimes done. It's really a show for us. You can make comments, but you tend to take over in the past, and I don't like that. I'm asking you not to do it.
And I absolutely won't, and that's why I was trying to listen tonight.
Because it's annoying, because sometimes you would take it over the whole hour. It's not appropriate. So you can make comments, but not dominate.
Okay, gentlemen, everybody has an opinion, and we'll all go at it one by one.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
there we go.
And basically, Wayne was just, or no, Wayne
we were talking about.
Or Ron was making the point that the governor of Florida right now is getting ready to curb your classroom. Is that it, Ron?
Not so much my level, but at the public high school and middle school and elementary, but even in college, you're told that you can be recorded, which I don't care, and that you have to be careful what you talk about. This is censorship, and it's outrageous, and he's going to victimize people on the issue of race and sexuality, and he also wants to have elections monitored by a police force he controls. This sounds like the Gestapo. As I see it, the man is out of control completely.
I
said so at the beginning of the show. They're all just a bunch of friggin' Nazis. And I'm with Mummy. Get the guillotine out. Come on.
Get the guillotine out. I'm not kidding.
You want to actually do it yourself?
Hey, you know
what?
Oh,
I wouldn't have a problem pulling that lever.
Are you an experienced person in using the guillotine, Gwen?
I wouldn't have any problem pulling that cord.
You know what? You know what, Ron? I'll give you nickels to donuts that on a bet that basically at some point I was. You know, you don't live just one life, Ron. You live several. You keep coming back. It's for the greater growth of your soul.
So funny.
Hey, bonfire it up. Bonfire it up. It's true. I unfortunately fell asleep last night with HBO on, and they put, God, what's his name? I went to fucking school with him. Real Time. He pisses me off so bad I can't remember his name.
Well, Real Time with Bill Maher. I actually find Bill Maher mostly annoying and irritating at this point. He used to be funny. I find him hostile, at least from my viewpoint, and antagonistic. And I like the people on the show, but I can't stand him. I really can't, you know.
Well, yeah.
The guests are good, yeah. But I think he's a prima donna. I don't know. I just find him annoying. And used to years ago like him. I don't anymore, you know. But the show has good guests. That's the thing. If he lets them talk, you know.
I don't know. I the whole thing is just, you know, every time I see the news or hear anything, I got to tell you, gentlemen, I'm like,
I think I can see. Let me interject here. It says, you know, you have to back off from the news. Even I do, because where we know you can project, we can kind of see where things are going. We can see the extremism gaining such a grip hold on us as a society, with, we'll say, almost half of the damn population in this country, that basically we're kind of losing hope. That, you know, how can these people be, you know, behind Trump and still be behind Trump and still want to, well, perfect example, those who certified the electoral votes coming out of, what was it, Michigan, actually
yes.
falsified the records with their signatures and sent it into the Library of Congress.
Yes, so did Arizona and a few other states.
How come these bastards aren't in jail right now? Why
yes, they should.
Why are they not in jail right now?
Yes. There's got to be action taken, you know. There's got to be people going to prison. You're right.
It hasn't. And
I think every one of the 139 House and 8 senators should all be under the Article 3 of the 14th Amendment. They are involved in insurrection and sedition. They should not be allowed to hold public office again.
Well, that's leftover from the Civil War, and we're not using it.
And that's two-thirds of the House Republicans.
Right.
And almost 20% of the Senate Republicans.
Well, and then I take the thought and project it one more step. In the next election coming up here, it is
to not be allowed to run.
That the Republicans will take over the House, or favored to take over the House, and possibly the Senate. When they do, with this fanaticism that they have, this goose-stepping lockstep mass, don't think that they won't shut down the investigations of the January 6th.
Oh, they will.
Ollie Infinity on everybody.
And according to Newt Gingrich, arrest all the people on the January 6th committee, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and all the Democrats on the committee, and put them in prison. Can you imagine that?
Until decent people, until decent thinking, mostly, you know, Democrat, but a lot of Republican people are imposed on cruelly by this kind of government. And I can talk about this from a position of having that imposition on me. I'm part of the LGBTQ. I think there's another
I'm sorry, say that again, Gwen.
I'm saying that unless you've been in the position of being your rights being imposed on and treated badly publicly because of who you are and what you do.
Yes.
Until that becomes more common, like myself and like Sybil, who's still online. We have lived through that. We have gone through that, and we fought to get our rights, and we were in the streets, and we've done our gig.
And now they're trying to take it away again,
But my point is, they are not going to be able to take it away. Once the cat's out of the bag, do you think the majority of people in this country have something really terribly against the gay community? I'll put that in emphasis to include all of us, LGBTQ.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
They don't. And you know, you take a look at network television, which almost everybody in the country is able to see. Almost every storyline, especially on comedies, has integrated families. Lots of black family shows are predominant.
Multiracial families, right.
And I'll take you back to when I was a kid and Archie Bunker was so popular. How much did he bring
50 years ago,
with his bigotry? And then you get a woman like Maude, like Bea Arthur, playing Maude for women's rights and everything. You think the women, gay communities, all people that they're trying to oppress that have won so many rights, I don't think the majority of this country at all figures that they need to be rolled back. And I think everybody's pretty much in a capsule right now of shock between COVID. I think it was Sybil, aren't you the one who said that, you know, we were on last week and you said, how's everybody doing since the first of the year? It feels like it's been 6 months, not just 2 weeks.
Yep.
And it was. That's exactly how it felt. It was just like, that's because we're in a zone right now where it's bubbling up. And Ron, I know you're paying attention to all the politics, and it seems really kind of.
Well, I have to. It's my field. I'm teaching it.
I know, but doesn't it seem to you as if it's the same old, same old?
Well, the thing is, I'm worried about the court because the Supreme Court's going to end abortion. I think it's clear. They're going to allow guns to be anywhere, I think. And they now have a case of Sarah Palin suing the New York Times where they may take away media freedom. And, you know, I'm so concerned because the Supreme Court is so extreme now. And, you know, here we have, you know, one of the members, Gorsuch, won't wear a mask around Sotomayor, who has diabetes. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Although they're claiming that that wasn't the issue, but it is the issue. It's just they're trying to all be diplomatic in public. But it's just, a monstrous situation the way we have it now.
How about the simple respect for another person's health? He's making a political statement that this is all fake news, this COVID is just all fake, it's not as bad as it is.
And yet he got vaccinated, Gorsuch.
If I pass it on to her and she dies, well, so be it.
But he got vaccinated. Supposedly they've all been vaccinated. So it's hypocrisy, you know. So much of it.
Well, violence is not the answer. I mean, I might have a fantasy about lobbing heads off or something, but the truth is that violence is not the answer. The only way this is going to change is when the momentum builds up in the people. And we thought they had after Trump, and of course they elected Biden. But the thing is that Biden he got the vaccinations and stuff like that. But and he's sending out free tests to houses, and he's doing what he can. But he's just an old dude.
It's a horrible thing because we have the Senate. That's why. You know, it's just not LBJ Senate or FDR Senate, you know.
No, that's
not
it.
You know, that may be true, but leadership is leadership, and, you know.
But you can't convince Manchin and Sinema. And now I've read that Sinema is thinking of running for president in the future. Can you believe that?
You know, that's what I'm saying.
That's egomaniacs.
Yeah.
They don't want to be president.
To see what kind of leader someone's going to be, give them a little bit of power and see how quickly it takes them to start abusing it. She is a perfect example of that.
Oh, my gosh.
And
Manchin also.
And Manchin also. That's right. This is, they are exposing themselves of exactly what kind of leaders they would be if they were given even that much more power. They have, like, you know, the stratification of power, and they've already abusing it. You know, be damned their constituents. But the thing is those, they're going to turn, they're in West Virginia, they're going to turn around and elect him again.
Most likely, because if he's not, they'll pick a Republican who's probably more outrageous than him.
But I'm going to tell you right now, right, that southern part of West Virginia, which used to be Democratic.
It's a white poor state.
Senator Byrd. Senator
Byrd, but they use the race issue there a lot. You know.
Senator Byrd, as, even though he ended up as progressive, and basically he was, when he was head of the
Klan. He was
in
the Ku Klux Klan, but then he changed, yes.
He was a Klansman. He ran around and he got elected because he was a blatant Klansman, and those in southern West Virginia were also of that same mindset.
But later he did change and become more moderate. You know, he actually
He also apologized later on.
Yes.
The thing is, he was so well established that it was going to be, and trust me, they were building highways into West Virginia that, you know, California would have loved to have had, you know, as far as bridges and causeways and things like that, because he was head of the Appropriation Committee.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw it firsthand. I saw it firsthand what was going on there.
I don't understand how white poor in West Virginia don't push him more to get, you know, to get the Build Back Better bill. I just don't get it, you know.
They are so subservient and abused for so many generations by the coal companies, owning your soul to the company store. These people are so poor and so dependent upon any kind of a, call it the Stockholm Syndrome. You know, well, if I piss off this coal owner, then I ain't got a job and my kids are going to starve. Well, you know what? Maybe you should move, you know, get the fuck out of that area and go to a more prosperous area. Either that, or you're going to be so subjected to economic enslavement that your next generation is going to be there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Kentucky, right next door, also has McConnell
it's
and Paul.
Yeah, it's
and they're
right
just out, they're Republicans, but they're outrageous, particularly Paul, you know. But both of them.
Exactly.
So guys,
and,
what are you going to do about it? What can you do?
I can't do a damn thing. I don't have a magic wand. You're not going to convince me.
I'm hoping Rand Paul will be defeated. He is an opponent this year. McConnell, of course, got elected in 20, but I don't know. These people just don't get it.
Well, you know, as I was said on a Sybil show last Monday, I had a very good friend who, a progressive Democrat, well-known and well-respected in the southern part of Delaware, where he's had a construction company and other businesses and stuff. But at the election, he lost to the conservative Republican because Delaware has gone Trumpism. And, you know, it's just automatically walk up, pull the Republican ticket, or, you know, Republican lever. And he and I were talking about it here, very good friends. And
this is
said,
a state legislative
unfortunately,
seat? This is a state
State legislator, yeah, not the federal Senate, right, state legislator. So
yeah.
I had to pony up $60,000 just to get into the campaign. Anyway, he said, unfortunately, those who need to get out and vote for their interest to be truly represented, he said, they won't get out and vote. Even if you sent them a limo to pick them up, take them to the polling place to vote, and then give them a ride home, they're not getting them off their ass to vote. But the fanatical Trumpism, they would walk through 7 feet snowdrifts in a blizzard to go cast their vote for Trump and the Republican mantra. That's what we're dealing with.
Disgraceful.
Right, and that's not just Delaware. That's across the country.
Yeah. And I was saying before the show started about Robert Kennedy Jr. Being at this anti-vaccine demonstration rally, I guess, in D.C., and how he's railed against vaccines and says all kinds of crazy things about it. And I mean, I hate to say it, but he besmirches the name of his great father, who was killed in 1968, and his own family split around him. It's an embarrassment,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder if he's saying that because that is the demographics he has to play to to keep his that job, i.e. that paycheck flowing, all the kickbacks and, you know, tchotchkes of, you know, hey, buy this stock, right? It's going to go up, you know, $3, right? And when it hits $3, sell, because we lied about what the fuck we're doing. You know, meanwhile, he's walked away with, you know.
Is the group Daily Kos, K-O-S?
You really
but he's suing Daily Kos.
You really think that's where he's coming from? You don't think he feels that this is basically, you know, something that has validity, that vaccinations could be harmful? I mean, that's his opinion. But you
no, but all I know is he's suing Daily Kos for millions of dollars because they besmirched his reputation, he says. And I see these emails from Daily Kos, which is to the left, of course. And, you know, it's... The man,
well, he's
had all kinds of issues, though, with drugs and alcohol. I think a lot of it is, I think he's mentally deranged at this stage of his life. I really feel he is. It seems that way, anyway.
Jeez, guys, give me a little credit here for knowing the guy. I mean, I worked on his campaign for heeding the elderly. And bringing food, especially through the church up in Boston.
This is how many years ago?
Oh, it was a while back, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think he's changed. Because he used to be an environmentalist, I remember. He had a good reputation,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's years ago. People go through changes, and I think he's fine.
He started the freaking Water Keepers, Ron. He's the head of the Water Keepers, who are a lot of good people all over this country and all over South America that do good work every day. I mean, you know, it's like a lot of these Republicans are total shitbags, but some of them are not. They're just involved in their own politics and a little crazed about that, but they do a lot of good work, too.
He did years ago, but I think he's not the same person he was. People do change, unfortunately.
They do change, that's true, but geez, you know, I mean, okay.
Now, I don't know him personally, but his own family is split around him, even on his father's assassination. He doesn't think Sirhan did it, and he wanted him pardoned, and Governor Newsom wouldn't pardon him. And I think there's only one other brother that agrees with him, while the rest of the family and his mother are glad that Sirhan did not get pardoned, and he should not be pardoned.
And the thing is how can he deny Sirhan did not assassinate RFK?
Yes,
when there's hundreds of witnesses there that saw him run up there to him with the gun, put it to his head, and, well, I think he was shot in the head, but, you know.
He doesn't believe these witnesses, what can I tell you? I'm telling you, I don't think he's the same person
he was once,
but he's not the same.
There's, like I said, there's even film footage of it.
Well, look, there's film footage of January 6th and people deny it, right?
Well,
so
yeah,
you can take a horse to water, you can't make a drink, is the old saying.
That's,
and some people don't care what the video evidence is, right?
The perfect definition of gaslighting right there.
Yes.
Right? You know, that's it.
Well,
I
think politics in general is a big gaslighting attempt.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. It is a plethora of gaslighting.
Prices are fucking rising all over the world right now. I mean,
yeah.
I go to get groceries and I'm stunned. Do you know what would
cost
you to get two ribeye steaks right now? Like $10 a pop. You can pay that in a restaurant a year ago. I mean, it's incredible. A gallon of milk, and even peanut butter.
Mm.
And they'll tell you, oh, well, it's because of rising the cost of conveyance because we can't get anything in or out the way we used to. Well, hell, you know, it's incredible. Inflation is going mad right now. And they're upping that goddamn real estate bullshit again. Same old crap. They're replaying it again, and the Democrats are allowing that to happen.
Yeah, well, in Florida,
the
state's crazy. I'm thinking the whole country, but in Florida, it's really become impossible to rent or buy.
Whole,
Right. It's macroeconomics. It's macroeconomics. When you float so much tax cut where you're not collecting any, you know, revenue, it's like a business. You know, government's like a business. If you don't have the revenue coming in to pay your bills, but you can turn around and gain credit or print money, which does nothing more than devalues the value of said money, then that's inflation.
And it's not just America. It's every major Western European country is going through the same stuff.
China's doing it too. China's having the same damn problem too.
Some are better off than others. Some countries have gotten people have gone in and gotten vaccinated right away because they were sane. So let's put it there. There's some saner countries. Britain's in just as much mess politically and COVID-wise as we are. So is Italy. France is close to it. Spain has its problems, but a lot less. Portugal's got a lot of people. You know, most people are vaccinated there. But their inflation has gone crazy. So has every major Western European or Western banking country.
Mm-hmm.
And people are leaving in droves certain places. Like, you know, there's been an exodus out of Hawaii. Can you imagine leaving Hawaii? Why would you leave Hawaii?
Well, again, if I can't afford to, you know, they have to import everything. And, you know, if you can't afford to eat and survive and house yourself, you got to go someplace else.
Well, they've also upped the, without the government, like in here in the state of Florida, here in our town in Port St. Lucie and Stewart, all of the fast food restaurants and the economy stores, like the gas station store and all of those, they're paying their counter people $15 bucks an hour to keep them.
Yeah, there's no choice now. You know, but it's a good thing that they're getting increases in pay. But, of course, people don't want to pay higher prices. Like I discovered, I bought broccoli. And broccoli, I find now the bag, you might get the same price, but you're getting fewer ounces. So in other words, they're raising it. But they do that. They give you less in the bag or whatever it is, and then you think you have the same amount, but you don't.
Well, here's another thing, too. Because the supply chain, you know, the just-in-time manufacturing, that they did umpteen. Thing is once you have that safety net of, inventory in stock, i.e. the manufacturing supplying the warehouse to the store, that's all discombobulated. I have never had food poisoning in my life, but since this pandemic, I've had it 3 times.
Wow.
Because the bacteria and shit in the food, the quality of the food had dropped.
Oh boy.
And I've just now, I've had... my wife bought a Wagyu hamburger, right? It's supposed to be the highest, top end, like Kobe beef. Kobe beef is, like Wagyu is the American version of Kobe beef. And unfortunately, one of the hamburgers had been a little bit undercooked. I took one bite of it, and I thought, this should have been cooked longer.
I've had
food poisoning that I've been dealing with for well over a week now. I'm just now coming off.
Oh, my God, I hear that.
Unfortunately, that's what we're also dealing with, too, that a lot of people don't understand is, or, haven't taken into consideration is the, the safety that's the Food and Drug Administration is overseeing the production and making sure our food and our medicines are safe. They're dropping the ball.
Well, they've been dropping the ball. I mean, COVID messed up every large system in the country, all across the globe.
Around the world, not just across
the globe. You know, the fallout isn't just COVID. The death isn't just from COVID. It's from the slip through the cracks, absenteeism in governance. That's created too, and it's it's pretty much everybody is beginning to realize that because of all of the variants of COVID, that we're probably all going to get it in one form or another.
That's true. There's going to be the next mutation that, the way I try to explain it to people is COVID is a cold-based virus. It's a cold. How many colds have you had in your lifetime? That's because when you got this cold, okay, your body built up some immunity to it and stuff and fought it off. But now, and 6 months later, it has morphed, and you caught the same, you caught a cold virus again, the cold-based virus, but it's a little bit different, so the body didn't recognize. Henceforth, you got a snotty nose and sore throat again, every 6 months. Only thing COVID is vicious enough to kill you.
I know someone who got the Omicron variant in Boston, and she's not even 30 yet, and she's over a lot of it, but it was pretty awful to go through, and the kind of sore throat she's still holding on to, it's like strep throat. Something like that in an elder person, it can be killer.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So, well, look, it doesn't have to be an older person. My daughter, who lettered in track all 4 years, from ninth grade to 12th grade, she was all state in track. This kid, ever since she was little, could run like a gazelle. Well, she was working at a company, and, unfortunately, in hickey-fied Eastern Shore areas where Trump was, running around having no mask campaigns and stuff, and it's all the Democrats are just making this stuff up, trying to win the election, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. And some of them bought into it, although they were wearing masks because they were on the phones. They would take their mask off and talk. It was a trucking brokerage firm. And with that mask off, and somehow it got passed on to her, 27 years old, didn't go out, as a 27-year-old, I was in bars and, picking up women as but, she wasn't able to do that. She wasn't, all it was work and home. And damn if she didn't get COVID-19 in February, which was like a month, 6 weeks before the vaccinations even started coming out.
Gosh.
And here she is now. Let's just call it a year later. She's having trouble with her liver because that's where the COVID virus settled into. And she's still, her lungs still aren't right. This was a star track runner, 27 years old, should be at the prime of her life, and she is suffering a year later from the effects of catching COVID.
That's
horrible. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. That's terrible. This is the story over and over again with COVID.
And yet the people would say that, that it's all just a common cold or it's nothing at all, including
it's
people
like
I know.
It's like the flu, right? Poo, poo, poo. It's like the flu. No, it's not like the flu.
No, it's not really like the flu. And Omicron is not just like the flu. It's the sore throat hangs on. You can't sleep because of it. I don't know if you guys have ever had strep throat, but it's the most horrible thing in the world.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no.
And
for
it to hang on for, weeks, that's pretty awful. That can drain you terribly.
Sure.
And that's, it's still out there. I there was a terrible case of bronchitis going around, and now somebody's saying that the bronchitis was a form of the, I heard this a couple of days ago, that was a form of the COVID. No, I didn't test positive for COVID at all. I had bronchitis, though. And it was bad, it was pretty horrible. Had me in bed for like four or five days.
Was it true bronchitis or was it misdiagnosed COVID?
I was tested. It wasn't COVID. It didn't go positive.
I just wanted to put clarity there.
It was bronchitis, and it acted like bronchitis too. So, But why would this be going? I mean, I heard of a case of it up in Maine, and then somebody out in Colorado had it. Somebody in California had it. A couple of people around me here had it. I mean, I think that the we're talking in terms of surplus population. You know, there's definitely a thinning going on. You consider too. I mean, well, we were all on lockdown, and all those countries were on lockdown. The healing that took place to our atmosphere and to the land and seas was incredible. Mm-hmm. It shows you how fast it can come back.
That's true, right.
Of course, all that's for naught now because people are back at it. I don't know. I just get an inner wisdom that says, you know, there's something bigger going on here, and it ain't finished.
Well, and Glenn, I have to agree with you. Nature does adjust and take care of its needs, and
I think that's
the cascading down is those who are offending it.
I think this came out of permafrost. I really do. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if it's right on time, too. I don't know. Ron, what's your take on that? Do you have any? Or are you just into the science that it's
well, I'm not a
virus?
Scientist. I'm amazed at how many people who even, I'm not going to say who, but by name, a person who had majored in science years ago who doesn't follow science. And he luckily doesn't, he's not in the field of science, what he does. He's on radio, but it's just, I can't believe the kind of stuff that he says, you know.
Right. And Glenn, I know who Ron is speaking of. He's
but no names.
Yeah, he's just a flaming asshole. So.
Well, you said it. I won't say that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem saying it.
Not on this, not on here anyway.
No. Not anybody that he went those or anything.
Oh,
it's just drives me crazy,
about?
You know. It's.
Who are you talking about?
The same person keeps on saying that Joe Biden has dementia. I don't see signs of it. I mean, he's a little slowed up, but if anything, Donald Trump has dementia. I don't understand how anybody could say there's not a difference between the two men.
Who are you guys talking about?
Glenn, it is just somebody.
I'll tell you privately or type it after.
Just outside of Columbus, Ohio. I've been on that person's radio show, too, when Ron wasn't able to do it one time and stuff. And he is somebody
names.
Who should not be somebody who should not be a Trumpster, but he
are
is
you,
a Trumpster.
Are you talking about that Adam Letts guy?
No comment. You're mentioning names.
I'm not mentioning names.
Well, I mean, if anything, this has been one of the Rude Crude episodes. So basically,
I didn't say it.
We're going to have to get some road rules down, I guess.
That's why I didn't say names, you know. I shouldn't have mentioned a name, yeah. I don't like mentioning names because it's not right to do that, I don't think.
Very well.
Yeah.
It's not.
I didn't say it, if anybody's listening.
Hey, Gwen, let's get back on track. Here we go. Boom, 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 go.
Oh, you guys are real pussies, aren't you?
I know.
You are.
Yeah, I'd like to switch to something else, which is pleasant. Jimmy Carter is now 41 years out of office, 10 years longer than Herbert Hoover, still counting as of January 20th. And I figured it out because I'm crazy, I guess. So I figured it out that on Valentine's Day, February 14th, he will have been retired for 15,000 days. What do you think of that?
Wow. And
he's 14,905 as of January 20th, but I figured it out. So on February 14th, 15,000 days of retirement. He's 97 plus, and he's hopefully still going strong, and his wife's 94. Not perfect people. Nobody's perfect, but to me, he's become a real symbol of somebody really common decency, you know?
Oh, my gosh. That's the least of what he's a symbol for. He is probably one of the better men that ever filled that office. And
though he's pans as not being a good president. I think his rating is not great, but I think he will move up. But I think his living so long is preventing it.
I didn't say anything about his presidency or his politics. I was talking about the man. The man.
The man himself.
The man.
Absolutely.
Himself.
Yes.
Well,
I mean,
I will give him I will give him this kudos here. The tumultuous relationship that Egypt had with Israel.
Yes.
I can remember the Seven Days War, the Yom Kippur Wars and stuff like that. It was Egypt who had the strongest, most viable threat to Israel, the potential threat, right? And Jimmy Carter got them together.
Yep, and having peace ever since.
And they have been like, you know what, this has got to end, and we were right. That is going to be the golden ticket for Jimmy Carter when his time is past.
Yes.
Now, you know what? I think basically the outstanding behavior that he's demonstrated as a human being since he left office and even before he got in, his ability to go around the world and be the mediator between so many different difficult political situations globally for the last 40 years, 50 years, all of the things that he has done to the Habitat for Humanity, one, but I mean to build communities for people who have nothing, all of his goodness and support.
Fighting different diseases.
True
philanthropic person.
Man, he really is.
He's also said, it's hard to be sure, that some scholars would think he's the most brilliant in the sense of intellect and IQ. It's hard to compare people like the Thomas Jefferson, but the thought is he has a very high IQ. It's believed in, that he's considered among the most in IQ high presidents.
He also has an incredibly affable personality and a good sense of humor, which showed up when he agreed to do a Playboy interview.
That's way back, in 1976.
He's solid. He's what my good friend on Monday nights would call hardy. He's a hardy person.
Yeah, also, one thing of interest is that when George H.W. Bush, even in his old age in a wheelchair, was accused by some women that he was touching their rear, you know, their rears, and, you know, and people laughed about it because he was pointed. So a friend of mine said, oh, see, so Bush, so watch, we're going to hear about Carter. We have never heard a whisper of him ever fooling around with anybody, ever. Now, if he did, it's never come out. And as a former president, you think we would say, oh, yes, you know, but it's never happened. He has never been disloyal to his wife, Rosalynn, married 75 years.
That's wonderful. But like I was saying, it's about the man. And look at all that he's done. And he does not spend a lazy day. He's not painting dogs out in the backyard and occasionally showing up for a political op. You know, it's always.
And he's not on corporate boards making money. And he lives in the same house he's always lived in Plains.
He's still on that. It's a ranch style, isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, they said the house is worth $167,000. Maybe it's worth more now, but he's lived his whole life. I mean, it's a very long time since before he was president. He's lived in that house, but that's a pretty cheap house these days.
I was going to say, I have a condo worth more than that. Well, about twice that.
But of course, you have to be willing to live in Plains in Southwest Georgia, a town of about 800 people.
I'll stay in Annapolis, thank you.
Yeah, you got a great place to live in Annapolis. What a place! Wow.
Well, yes, I'm very happy with it. It took me 50 years to get here, but I'm here.
Yeah, the photographs Wayne sends me of the view. Oh my God!
I am in his story.
It's almost like you died and went to heaven, right?
Well, not knowing what heaven is, I don't. But the real treasure is I am 3 miles from my grandchildren.
That's great. That's wonderful.
And they came over with Jerry, my son-in-law. They all came over here yesterday. Carol, you know, I'm such a blessed man with my wife Carol. She had like something from a dollar store where you kind of sewed. 3 layers of kind of a foamy felt, and you know, like Dora the fish from what the hell was that? Finding Nemo, right? You know, one of them did Nemo. There was two Doras and stuff. Kids had a great time. You know, I am reaping the rewards of my daughters and now my grandchildren.
That's wonderful. That's great.
I'm so blessed.
Yeah, talk about heaven. Before we go, you know, we have about 10 minutes. I have to ask what you think about Betty White passing away 17 days before she hit 100.
I think she did it to upscale New Year's Eve. I think she said,
there you go.
New Year's. I'm going to make this year one thing that, you know, a peg pin in this year.
She went out as a headliner.
Yes, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke when they first said that. Yeah.
Well, because they've said it so many times on the internet, but it really did hit this country and a lot of people in Europe. It hit them all pretty.
Yes.
You know.
Most beloved
awful.
Public figures ever. You know.
Yeah, she was definitely beloved.
Yeah, and every kind of Betty White show that you can think of has popped up on all the streaming services from.
Yes.
Her original show is actually streaming on Netflix, I think. Life of Elizabeth.
B. Arthur apparently didn't like her, you know, so much because she couldn't believe that she was so up all the time.
But apparently that's really where she was.
I look at B. Arthur, I don't really know what she was really like, but looking at her on Maud, I can see that she probably was a pretty hard person to live with, B. Arthur.
Well, B. Arthur had a reputation
for being kind of difficult, especially in theater.
But she didn't like that Betty White apparently was not difficult.
and that might have been it, but we were told over and over again by McClanahan and by Betty White that's not what happened. You know, they actually made another series after Bea said, you know, she'd had enough of Golden Girls. The rest of the gals went into the series, an adjunct series called The Golden Palace, about them owning a hotel in Miami. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Who was on that?
It was Betty White, Rue McClanahan, and the old gal, I can never think of who.
Your grandmother, yeah, mother.
And Betty White, too?
And Betty White.
But not Bea Arthur, huh?
But just not Bea Arthur. She was the only one that wasn't in it.
Was she not on it because she had passed away already, or she just didn't want to be on it?
And she actually, the Golden Girls stopped because she didn't re-up her contract.
Okay, so she didn't want to be on the other show. Okay, yeah.
She was difficult in a way. I don't think it was about difficulty. I think it was that she just felt she was, you know, in an acting pigeonhole. And she had opportunities to do other things, but I don't think she lived.
Well, people
that
do get pigeonholed when they're on series, unfortunately, yeah.
Well, here's something. Here's something. Bea Arthur is from Cambridge, Maryland.
Oh.
Which is, I worked in Cambridge, and my farm was in Dorchester County, which is Cambridge. Cambridge is where Harriet Tubman was born and escaped from, right? And, you know, the demographics of Cambridge women, kind of like the 10-cent millionaire Southern women, okay? putting on the airs, right? Because, you know, they don't have two quarters to rub together, but at least they got a quarter and a dime. Okay, that's my.
Oh, you're so funny.
There was a riot there, right?
In Cambridge, Maryland, that Agnew got involved in, right?
Yes. Well, matter of fact, Agnew, there was a racial riot because he went down and sent federal troops in there because the black population had a peaceful march, and the cops opened up on them with dogs and shotguns. And what the march was about was there were three high school students who peacefully knelt down in the white-only lobby of the only movie theater in Cambridge, Maryland, And they were arrested and given 6 years in prison for that heinous crime.
And did they actually serve all that?
Down. Huh?
Did they actually serve all that?
They did appeal it, and once it was appealed, then it was like, you know, time served. But, yeah, no, they were still guilty of committing a heinous crime, of daring to kneel down and pray in the white-only lobby.
Oh, my God. And that's why Agnew got noticed by Nixon, who picked him to be VP.
Right, and then the Republican Party noticed, you know, what he was doing, because he was, when that happened, okay, I'm backing up here. When Agnew got elected, he was really he was Republican, but he was less radical than the Democrat at the time, because the Democrat was in favor of, if I had a house in a neighborhood and my neighbor was going to sell his house next door to me to a black person, I had the right to veto that sale because a man's home, I'm doing air quotes here.
I think George Mahoney was his opponent, I think. Yeah.
I think that's right. Yes, that does sound right now.
Oh, God.
So he was elected because he was the most or the least radical of it. But henceforth, after the Cambridge, they called it the Cambridge riots, then he started going around. The GOP sent him all around the South, flipping all the old Dixie Democrats, all the Klansmen, right, in the Democratic Party, to the Republican. That is why today the South is guaranteed to vote Republican, because Agnew went down there and flipped them all over to the Republican Party. Still the same mindset of the Klansmen. The racist aspect is still there, but now they're no longer in the Democratic Party. They're in the Republican Party.
Yeah, but that's why Nixon picked Agnew, because he thought he could swing people, and he did, until he got caught in corruption. Then he was forced out, but he was doing Nixon's bidding,
Right. Well, Patrick Buchanan noticed him, who was the speechwriter for Nixon at the time.
Yes.
Saw what Agnew was doing there here in Maryland, and basically, you know, Nixon was gearing up to run for president. And he may notice that, hey, you may want to take a look at this guy, man. He's making shit happen, right? You know, he's motivating all these racists that we, you know, we can use those votes. And that's how Agnew got chosen to be Nixon's vice president.
And Buchanan's now 83 years of age. And he ran, of course, against Bush in 92 in the primaries, you know.
Yeah.
And he was also the 2000 election. People voted for Buchanan in Palm Beach County who wanted to vote for Al Gore, but they got confused by the butterfly ballot. And that's what decided that election, you know.
Well, there you go.
He was an independent.
Well, gentlemen, it is time to sign off. If you guys would give your information, if you would.
Okay,
you lead, Professor.
Okay. I have the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, since 2008. I'm also on History News Network under my name, Ronald L. Fineman. And of course, I'm on this show and on WWGH with Glenn Coble. He's a great person, real progressive. And, of course, I teach and I lecture. I teach the course at Florida Atlantic on the U.S. presidency.
Very good. And I can be found on the blogs, The Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. There's where I have stories about my times and experiences of being down in South America, where basically the military juntas overthrew democratic elected governments like we just had on our own January 6th here.
Yeah.
I saw it happening. I've seen it happen before. I saw it happening again. My conversations with Jack Kemp, things like that. The Full Quiver Project, that's all on there. Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Gwen.
The program is sponsored by Daughters of Isis, Inc. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. Also, I'd like to apologize to our call-in today. we aren't usually that brash. So we'll be here next week, Sunday, 6 p.m. Here be Monsters Radio, the Sunday show, roundtable.
Thanks so much, Wayne and Gwen.
Thank you. Love you all.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.